It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We are ranking third base for fantasy baseball. We're also talking Major League Baseball news. We have a signing this week, and we're going to talk some pre-draft strategy as well. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, Righteous Felon Jerky, and SeatGeek. We got a lot to talk about today, but I'm not going to do it all by myself. We're bringing on, as we normally do, the senior fantasy writer from BellyUpFantasySports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson joins us again. How you doing, Kev?
I'm doing great, Vince. You know, we've had a great weekend here. It's been in the 70s. It's been sunny and springtime. And so we've done things that are spring related. We went to the drive-in last night.
Wow.
And we've eaten outside. And baseball is actually occurring on TV.
That's right.
The first games have started on Thursday. So we're pretty excited over here because we got baseball, we've got sunny skies. So what better could we possibly be?
Yeah, I started getting the texts this weekend, you know, of final scores and different things going on like that, which is always fun, the crack of the bat. College baseball, of course, started last week before, but I did not get a chance to go this weekend, but I will be next weekend, hopefully two or three games next weekend, going and watching some college baseball here in Richmond, Kentucky. And so looking forward to that as well. But it definitely felt like spring. I was down in Tennessee this weekend for a basketball tournament. And Friday, man, we were walking around. It was sunny. It was warm. Everything felt right. Now, this morning when I went outside to my car, it was not so warm. But it's supposed to be a pretty decent week. Actually, I think, Kevin, I'm going golfing this week. I think the boss has taken us golfing this week. So this is going to be a good week overall.
Okay, but we're here are the clubs ready?
I have not pulled them out yet. Okay. So no. Well, they're always ready, Kevin. They're always ready. I'm not going to go there. Okay. But anyways, we got baseball to talk about today. Fantasy baseball, Major League Baseball. There's news to talk about finally well. So we'll get to all that. But we're going to start off today's show with our fantasy burner segment. Fantasy Burner is presented by SeatGeek. If you're getting tickets to a ball game or to any other event, SeatGeek is the way to go. You go to SeatGeek.com, and if you use the code BellyUpSports at checkout, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. So check it out at SeatGeek.com. All right, Kevin, last week we set our draft order for our league, and so we're starting to plan towards that a little bit. Today we wanted to talk some pre-draft prep because other than listening to our show and other than just pulling up cheat sheets off of ESPN or Yahoo or CBS or wherever it is you pull your cheat sheets from, there's other things you can do to get ready for the draft and maybe some things that you haven't thought of. Maybe you're already doing, but you don't realize why you're doing it. And so we want to talk about that briefly here today. And Kevin, I'm going to let you get us started with these mock drafts and how you use that tool for your prep for draft time.
Well, I enjoy mock drafts. I think they're fun. So that's number one. And but close second is because you can, whatever it is that you use, you know, for your platform, if you use Fantasy Pros, you could set that up for exactly what your league has. Like ours has middle infielders and, you know, corner infielders. It has a DH and all that. You could set that all up. You could put in, now that we know where we're drafting, you put in what position that you're drafting, how many teams there are, and you hit go and just do it that way. The only downfall to that is because you're going against a computer. But if you do it on ESPN, just know, because they revamped their lineups that don't reflect our particular league. It's only got, you know, the three outfield and doesn't have any of the extra fluff, but it is against live human beings. And so you could use that for the top of your, you know, to the middle of the draft. And so you can kind of get a, maybe a feeling about what other people are thinking about, you know, in the areas where you're drafting, where are they coming from? And so, and you can also do some experimentation. Like last week we talked about, I'm number five. Both of us agree that's a prime spot for a pitcher. But you could go on there in a mock draft and say, okay, well, that happens if I take a hitter here and see how that plays out. So you can kind of get yourself and see how things are flying, because we know on draft day, things are going to not go your way. Sometimes there's, you know, you want this guy, he's right there, and the guy before you snipes him.
Right.
So that, you know, and it happens on the mock drafts. It's like they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, and there's a guy. There's two guys that I could actually want, and they go 1-2 right before me. Hmm. So that kind of gets you to a mindset of what are you gonna pivot to? It just gets you a little, so that you're not so tingling when the clock's running down. Gives you an idea of what you might want to think about before draft day, because if you wait till draft day, you're gonna be frazzled, I think, and that's not the way to approach draft day.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there, where it teaches you. And, you know, listen, some people, they do fantasy sports and it's just purely fun for them and whatever. But most people who are in fantasy sports, they want to win. And no matter how much you've planned, if you're sitting there on draft day and an unexpected move happens right before your pick and you're sitting there going, wait, what? I didn't think they would take that person. And then you're sitting there trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? Now, I have the mind where I always have, however many picks are in between me and my next pick, I make a list of that many players. So I just know when I come to it, I'm taking one of these guys, and it just depends on who gets to me. Now, sometimes, you know, as you get closer to your pick, you start looking at the list a little bit more, thinking, do I really want that guy on my team? You know, those kinds of things. But those mock drafts do help you kind of go through the emotions of a draft a little bit and kind of get you. And for what it's worth, a good refresher on how the system works, which button to push so you don't draft the wrong guy, how to cue guys up, exactly. all those kinds of things.
And hard to believe, you know, because I've done fantasy baseball for, you know, a few years now, and there's been some times where I went and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And so you want that to be during your mock draft.
Right.
You don't want that to be during your actual draft where you wind up with, you know, two third baseman, let's say. Because right. If you remember, I actually did that last
year. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I did. And because, you know, I'm always, well, I know who I picked. Well, guess what? I kind of forgot. So I wound up with two third basemen. So yeah. It wasn't too tragic because they're both quality guys. But there would have been a much better pick there. And so mock drafts can kind of help you get away from doing something like that. And anything that can help you, that's what you want to, you know, towards your personal way of doing things. And, you know, because Fantasy Pros has a lot of a very good fantasy baseball articles and players of sleepers and tiers, just like we do and all that. And so that's, I go to them a lot, not so much ESPN, because like I said, they've made it so it's pretty much a fantasy all-star team fantasy wise. And there's nobody that's round 20,
yeah,
or any of that. So the way we do it, you have to actually have some strategy of who you value later in the draft.
Right.
And so if you set up your drafts that way, it'll help you maybe identify somebody that you like later in the draft.
Exactly. So I like to reach on guys later in the draft, not early in the draft, but you know, once we get really 10 rounds in, I just want guys that I want. So it might not go with the rankings necessarily at that point. I'm going to go out and make sure I land the guys, because there's nothing worse than thinking, oh, no one's going to draft this guy for another 3 rounds, so I can wait another round. And then he goes. And those mock drafts help you kind of see how's everybody else feeling about the guys that you like later in the draft, especially how are they liking. I think early in the draft, you kind of get the feel for pitchers versus hitters. I think as you move on in the draft, the mock drafts, you start to feel a little bit more of who else is in on your sleepers, the guys that you think are the guys to go get towards the bottom half of the draft. Who else is thinking that way? And then you know, okay, how much do I need to reach for this guy? Because I've been in drafts where people have drafted a guy, you know, round 8, and you're sitting there going, wait, who is that guy? Like, I don't have this guy on any of my lists, you know, and usually it doesn't work out for that person who drafted that guy, but it gets the names on your radar a little bit to see where guys later in the draft are going. You know, I've got a guy right now that I, you know, my dad says we don't tell him the truth on everything. I've got a guy right now that I'm not going to talk about in our shows until after our draft. And it's a guy that I want on my teams, but it's not anywhere near the top. I mean, we're talking late draft, but I want him on all my teams. And so I'm going to wait till we draft, and then I'll share with our listening audience who that is. They'll still have about 2 weeks, a week and a half or so before the season starts when we do our draft. And I'll talk about that guy then. And also that gives me time to change my mind between now and the draft, whether or not I actually want him on all my teams. But mock drafts help kind of figure out, is someone else, do other people feel the way that I feel about somebody? Or is he going, you know, 3-4 rounds later than I'm thinking about drafting him? Is he going, you know, a round or two higher than I'm thinking about drafting him? And if I really want him, it gives me an idea of knowing when I need to reach for that guy versus not. Along with the mock drafts, I think one of the most important pre-draft things that you can do that's really doesn't have anything to do with player rankings or anything like that is just knowing your league participants. If you're like us, you're in leagues where you don't know everybody. You usually know somebody, but you don't always know everybody. So the first thing that I do is try to figure out who do people cheer for. I go stalk them on Facebook. You know, if we're in a chat, I just pose the question, you know, and just trying to figure out, because if you're a good fantasy player, you're not a homer. But at the end of the day, and Kevin, I'll give you credit for this. You are the least homer of anyone I've ever played fantasy sports with. But at the end of the day, it's everybody wants to get one or two guys from their team in most cases. And so even if they're not homer at the top of the draft, they're going to be homer in the middle of the draft, at least for a pick or two. It's not usually a whole bunch of guys. Because I don't think, Kevin, this is a whole nother conversation. I don't think you should have very many guys from the same team. Like, I don't think it's smart to have 4 batters from the same roster.
Right. And I agree with that 100%, because if you have too many players off of one team and they have an off day, those players are all of a sudden now they're not available to you.
Yeah.
And or so if now you on, have to.
Or if they're on the Padres and they're having an off year.
Correct. And so, you know, and that kind of follows teams, you know, the chemistry does mean something.
You're right.
And we saw that with the Padres and their entire organization. All of their players, none of them except for Snell, I suppose, measured up. None of them. Yeah. And so I think that's the kind of thing where the train starts rolling the wrong direction. And, well, I'm attached, so I'm going down with the ship. And so, yeah, so I agree with that 100%. If you've got too many players on one team, that can clog up things. And you, even though they're in our league, there's no, you know, you can only make so many moves per week. But still, you don't want to have to replace 3 guys in your lineup. Because what if they're only, you know, 6 teams playing?
Right.
That's right. Say. And so you might make a move just to get a guy in your lineup, but then he goes 0-for-8 and strikes out 5 times. So that's a good point right there.
All right, so there's just a couple things to get you ready for your draft prep. Draft time is approaching quickly.
Because the next time we go live, Vince, you know it's March.
Yeah, definitely.
I think our draft is three weeks from today, I believe, correct? That's right, and it'll be here before you know it. So do what you need to do to get ready. Because I saw somebody was asking, hey, was it better to not know until draft day where your pick is, which I think that's silly.
Oh yeah,
and you know you're putting way too much pressure on yourself that way, and you want to help everybody prepare however best they can or they want to, and so like I said, I was doing drafts where I was just joining and you know picking from wherever.
Yeah,
but now that we know that I'm picking number five, every time I do a mock draft, it's at number five.
Right,
and so. Yeah, so I definitely agree that you should have your draft set as far in advance as you can, just agreed. So everybody can prep however they feel is best.
Yeah, if you're in a league, I've been in a league. I'm not sure if I'm in it this year or not, to be honest with you yet. But I've been in a league where they set it an hour before the draft, and I hate that. I cannot stand that. Yeah. I'm like, well, how are you supposed to strategize?
Yeah, your eyes are bugging, and you probably don't want to take a blood pressure test anytime in that hour, or during the draft.
Yeah, get rid of your league manager. That's not the way to go. If that's how you're doing things. All right, that's our Fantasy Burners segment for today. Again, presented by SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code BellyUpSports when you check out. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. It's time for segment number two, the call to the pin. Our call to the pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It is time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at righteousfelon.com. If you use the code STOVE15, that's STOVE15, you're going to get 15% off every single purchase that you make. So make sure you type in that code and try you some jerky. I personally love the bootleg and barbecue. That's my favorite flavor. The Soul Survivor comes in number two. That's the one right over, not that shoulder, right over this shoulder right here. And there's a lot of flavors there, and you're going to love almost every single one of them. I like all but one. I have never said which one I don't like, but I like all but one flavor, and I think there's 9 flavors to choose from. So check out righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15. And get you some beef jerky. All right, we got some news in Major League Baseball. Not only has spring training started, not only has my man Contreras already homered in his first at-bat in spring training for Milwaukee, but Cody Bellinger has signed a contract, and he's returning to the Cubs, which is exactly what we said he was going to do. But 3 years, $80 million, what was the point of waiting this long?
There was no point in waiting this long. Only because he must have broken free a little bit from the Scott Boras mentality, because essentially what he's done is he has 3 one-year deals. And so if he's the Cody Bellinger from last year, he can opt out and then try it again. If he's the Cody Bellinger of the later Dodger years, then the Cubs are stuck with him for 3 years.
Yeah.
But he can also opt out after the second year. So on his part, I think this is a solid move that, there's really no downside for him because, he goes and stinks up the joint. He's got 3 years on his deal. If he goes out and hits 35 homers and 108 RBIs or whatever it is, then he can opt out right again next year and then sign a multi-year deal after that. So I think this makes sense for him. And it just makes me wonder, the other Scott Boras clients, are they going to follow suit? Are they going to continue to sit out? Because they're, the Boras Four is what they call it. And 3 of them are still out there.
Yeah.
And there's been no movement that I've seen at all, except for, J.D. Martinez. I don't think you can call him one of the four. He turned down a contract from the Giants of 1 year.
That. Yeah.
And so I think that's Boras right there in full effect on that deal.
Yeah, and Snell turned down an offer from the Yankees earlier in the year also. And I don't think Snell's going to get a better offer than the one the Yankees offered him, personally. I could be wrong, of course. And then Chapman, I mean, he hasn't had a sniff, it doesn't seem like.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I'm a team, and he was connected to the Giants as well there for a while, and his bat does not put him into the club to me to warrant some long-term deal.
Right.
And so he I'd love him on to a... wake up and smell what's swirling out there, because he is not Jose Ramirez, okay?
No.
He's not that. He never has been.
Chapman is a 1 year, $8 to $12 million, depending on the club, kind of guy. Give him a 1 year deal to see if he can kind of bounce back a bit. And then from there you can go to a 3 year deal or something like that. But I don't know. I would be shocked if Chapman gets more than a 1 year deal going into this year.
Yeah, I would be too. And you know, in fantasy, at least now with Bellinger in the fold. We've already talked about our first baseman, but you can slot him in now wherever in your draft where you think he should be, you know, slotted, because you know he's going to be there on opening day. And so right. And outfield and first base increases his value. And now that he's got a 1 year deal, essentially, even though it's 3 years, he's coming up on my draft board from when we talked about first baseman earlier a couple weeks ago. Because he's got every emphasis to go out and do what he did a year ago.
How much more? I mean, I already had him up higher than you had him anyhow. How much more are you putting? And he's still outfield eligible, by the way.
That's right. In ESPN, and that's what really increases his value, because I like guys that play more than one, you know, position. And I don't have the tiers on the first base right here in front of me. But I would say I would move him probably up to at least tier three, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's where I had him at, actually.
I had him nowhere near tier three. And
ESPN has him projected behind Paredes, Naylor, Casas, Yandy Diaz.
That's crazy, right? They need to adjust that immediately.
Yeah, I'd even put him above Goldschmidt, honestly. I'd put him in that Harper Walker range is kind of where I think I'd have him sitting at.
Okay. I would agree with that, because that multi-position eligibility moves him up to me. And so tier three is where, you know, I just hope that the Vince's, you know, cursings of the Cubs doesn't come to fruition. And I go ahead and I take him, and then, you know, tragedy ensues.
Yeah, if I have Bellinger on my team, I'm looking to trade him about the end of May, because okay. When the curse comes down, when the ACL gets torn, I don't want him on my roster. So I'm not afraid to draft Bellinger, but he's trade bait for me from the moment I draft him, trying to rack up something good. One of these young guys that's getting – maybe two young guys, you know, that are waiting to see what happens. I don't know.
Right, especially if he comes out of the gate hot.
Right.
Right. And April and May, and, you know, June 1st comes around and he's already have, let's say, 15 homers or something like that.
Yeah.
You might want to think about that.
Yeah. You do not tempt the baseball gods. Yeah. All right. I saw today as well, or maybe it was yesterday, Alec Bregman, he's final year of his contract. With the signing of Altuve, puts Houston in a predicament that there's a good chance they won't be able to re-sign Bregman for next year. What kind of year? I mean, I know we're getting ready to get into tiers here in a minute with third baseman, but I sit there and look at Bregman and look at his history. It seems like that was a mistake for Houston. I like Altuve, and I think probably, you know, clubhouse guy, he's solid, but Bregman's age compared to Altuve, compared to Altuve. I mean, he seems like that's the kind of guy you want to lock up early and quick.
Well, I'm kind of glad that they left him, you know, at 1 year, because he's got every emphasis now to go out and put out together. Not that he's ever, you know, really slumped or anything like right. that, but so yeah, like you said, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I like I initially wasn't sure what I felt about him, but when I was looking at it, I do like where he's coming from. I like what he's going to possibly do this year. So go ahead and leave him on the one-year deal and let him go out and just do some mashing.
Yeah, we like guys. This is another kind of going back to the fantasy draft prep aspect. Find out who's on a contract year. Juan Soto's on a contract year.
That's right. He's going to hit 40 homers.
Alec Bregman's okay. on a contract
year. You could say, okay, because it's, what, 726 right now. Kevin said 40 home runs for Soto this year. Put it down.
225 at okay. 7. Okay. Well, that's the date. You got to get that in there. February 25th. At right. 7:25 local time for Kevin.
That's right.
There you go. 40 home runs for Soto.
40 home runs for Soto. And
take,
so, yeah.
Take
so.
Twitter real quick and make sure he didn't just blow out something.
no,
by the way.
That he actually hit his first free home run.
He did.
It's so
third at bat.
So things yep. are looking good there. And I don't know if you saw that you know, Shohei Ohtani will make his Cactus debut. League debut on yep. Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so we'll get our first view of him in a Dodger uniform.
You know what I didn't you know,
nationally we'll get to see that, but
for what I haven't ever, done
he's swinging a good bat so far in spring. So.
What I haven't done is went and looked up all the prospects. I know Jack Centurio in game number 1, 2 hits, some
yes,
good
right.
some good things that happen. I haven't looked up the other guys but again, you got to keep an eye on that kind of stuff here. Not the first couple of days of spring training necessarily, but as it continues to go on, keep an eye on those prospects that are going to get the call up this year. Some might get them earlier now as a result of how they're doing here in spring training. We've seen that the last couple of years. We've seen that where guys, the clubs are more willing to bring up these young guys. We saw it at Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. We saw it in Cincinnati. We've seen it Baltimore, all those kinds of things. So keep an eye on those things as well. Like I said, you don't have to take too much from these first couple days, but once we get a couple weeks in, now you can kind of see, okay, where are we headed with some of these guys?
Right. And, one of the other news that came out this week was that, Cody Senga will not be ready for opening day.
Yeah.
So how does that affect him in a draft status? If you do a mock draft, you can see where others now think he may. If anybody's paying attention, if they're taking him way too early, that could benefit you because, you know, sure. I'm not taking a pitcher that's not ready for opening day. I'm not doing that, especially someone that's as high, you know, third round.
I was going to say, yeah, top 7 rounds. I don't want a guy that's not going to be there for me at the beginning, unless it's one of those Mike Trout. I mean, I know you're not as big on Trout as I am. We'll talk about him on outfielders, but
right. so
one of those superstars.
That you mentioned Mike Trout because he hasn't come off the board at any mock draft that I've done before the 11th round.
The 11th round?
11th round.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
And in a 10-man draft.
Oh.
He's gone off in the 12th round somewhere, and there's no downside to me whatsoever. And if that's the way people are reacting to him, there's no reason to jump and take him maybe in the 8th round or something like that. Because he's hanging around in every single draft I've done.
People,
and so if he's there in the 11th round, even if I've got 6 outfielders already, you've got to take a chance on Mike Trout at that point.
He is
we'll
not,
talk about that more later, obviously. But
yeah, Kevin,
that's one of the things in the mock drafts that I have seen that interests me greatly.
I promise you, Kevin, he will not be there round 11.
Okay.
I will not allow Trout to go to round 11.
Okay.
Now,
see, now us talking about that, because if I hadn't mentioned that,
I would have found out eventually.
Okay.
That blows my mind though, Kevin.
It does me too. It goes to show how far he has fallen.
Yeah.
Off the, cause
you know what?
He's still on the hook for what is it? 8 more years or something crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever, how many years that is.
And answer this. Okay. If Shohei Ohtani was still on the Angels, it would have very little impact on Trout's game and on his stats, in my opinion. But wouldn't he be going higher just because Shohei was on the team?
That's right. You got Shohei hitting either before or after you, which I believe he was before in the Angels.
But
lineup.
I'm saying not even as a result of that. I'm saying just having the attention of Shohei Ohtani on the team
right,
makes people lean more towards the team. Now Shohei's gone. People forget that Mike Trout's still there. And he's so they're in their draft.
So, yeah, so
and you're sitting there drafting these guys. And as they're going, Taylor and then Ward, all of a sudden on their list, Mike Trout pops up. And when Mike Trout pops up, they're like, oh, yeah, Mike Trout, he's still around. Hey, that's interesting. And they kind of push him off another round or two. And then finally they're like, well, I guess I might as well take Mike Trout because he's here, right, and either and him
he
or
he can do that up later. Like, you know, and let's say, he, you know, because you know he's going to get hurt. We know this. It's happened in the last, what, 3 or 4 years now. But if you take him later in the draft like that, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad as if you took him in the first 5 rounds or 3 rounds or even in the first round like you've been doing, you know, a couple of years ago.
Okay, so you've given us a prediction on Juan Soto's home runs for the year with 40. I'm right. doing some quick research here. Mike Trout has played last year 82 games, in 22, 119 games, in 21, 36 games, in 20, 53 games. The most that he's ever played was back in 2016, 159 games. So here you go. 6 minutes, 7 minutes after Kevin's 40 home run prediction for Juan Soto, I am here to tell you Mike Trout is going to play 150 games this year for the Angels, and he is going to be a top 15 fantasy outfielder for this year. Now, I say all that to say, if everyone else is valuing him in the 11th round, don't draft him in the third round. The value comes to me round 7 and 8. Is where you're looking at Mike Trout, depending on how your draft is gone and what positions you fill. You can't ignore major needs at 7 and 8, round 7 and 8. But I believe Trout is going to have a Yelich-type year that Yelich had last year, where it's not going to be number one like he used to be, but it is going to be incredibly relevant to fantasy baseball. And the team's going to stink. The Angels are going to be horrible. But yeah. But that doesn't matter for fantasy baseball as much. There you go. I think Mike Trout's a top 15 fantasy outfielder this year, and he plays 150 games.
Okay. I'm going to stop way short of 150. If he does 130.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Well, so, Kevin, I hate to bring this up, but you also stopped short of the championship.
You know, at some point, Vince, I got to take that bullet out of your chamber.
No, well, until I have to, you know, it's there. It's right. There until it's gone. So I know I'm tempting the fantasy gods now, so I better be careful with that. All right, that's the Major League Baseball news. Let's get to some player rankings. That's our call to the pen, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, and you're going to get 15% off your purchase, every purchase that you make. Let's go now to our final segment of the show. We call this one our Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. You need articles and advice on fantasy football, fantasy hockey, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball, all of Kevin Wilson's articles. And even though he fell short of the championship the last 2 years, he was right there, number one team in the regular season, and right there till the end as well, and well worth your reading there. So go to BellyUpFantasySports.com and check out all those articles there as well. All right, today we are ranking third base, and I'm excited about this one, Kevin, because when I was doing my tiers here, I've got three guys in each of my top four tiers, and I would be happy to have, you know, two of any of these guys in my tiers. Like, I like these top 12 guys as third baseman. I like some way more than others, of course, but if I had, you know, one of my top, you know, top two tier guys and one of my tier three or tier four guys, I'd feel pretty happy coming out of a draft that way. And I'm interested to see kind of where you go. I also got some fun stuff for our value picks and overrated players as well. But let's start things off with tier one, because although I'm sure we both have Jose Ramirez at the top, I'm curious to see if you've got anybody else joining him in tier one.
I do not.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez is at the top in his own tier. He's the only third baseman that I rate as being a first round draft pick.
Interesting.
And even though he didn't have a great year last year.
Right.
But even when he doesn't have a great year, he still winds up hitting 24 homers, 80 RBIs. He had 87 runs. He had 28 stolen bases. And that's one of the aspects of third that he gives that these other guys to follow do not. He steals bases. And so, he only had a .285 batting average, balls in play. That's way below what I think he's capable of doing. That was one of the, you could say, well, he wasn't lucky last year. So I think that springs forward. So I'm thinking that, he's only 31. I think he's going to put together a 30 homer, close to 100 RBIs year, 30-30 with steals and home runs. And so he is alone at the top of this list, as far as I'm concerned.
He is ADP at 9.4 right now. By far the highest ADP of any third baseman. The next guy is at 22, and he's being overdrafted. We'll talk about that later. But I've got three guys in tier one, Kev. I do believe Jose Ramirez is number one. I think he's the top guy. There's no question about that. But I believe that Austin Riley and Alec Bregman belong in the conversation, as if you get one of those three guys, although I'd rather have Ramirez over the other two, I think if you have one of those three guys, you're sitting on top of the third base stack. Last year, Bregman only scored four less fantasy points than Ramirez. He's projected to be lower than that, but again, coming off onto a contract year and all that kind of stuff, I think it'll be a lot closer than what ESPN is predicting right now. Average draft position right now for Bregman's 39, almost 40. Riley's at 33, so they're getting valued a lot less, obviously, than Ramirez, but even less than Rafael Devers on ESPN right now, which is blowing my mind because I would love to have Riley and Bregman over Devers. So that being said, I put them both up there. I think Ramirez is the clear-cut one, and then I think Riley and Bregman are right behind them. I went ahead and put them in tier one as opposed to putting Ramirez alone because I think Bregman and Riley are second-round draft picks. And so I put them right up there with Ramirez.
All right, so that falls right in because I've got three guys in my tier two, and that's Riley, Devers, and Bregman. And so, when you look at ESPN, Bregman, they've got him ranked as number three overall at third base.
Yeah.
So if you're in an ESPN league and you want Bregman, you're going to have to jump high to get him. And when you look at some of these other guys, they've got Austin Riley. It's the fourth ranked third baseman. I got him at number two. And hitting in that Braves lineup. He plays every day. He's only 26, 37 home runs, 117 runs scored. What more could you? Although his 324 batting average of balls in play, you figure that's going to come down. That's probably unsustainable for him. But he's got that 24% strikeout rate, which you'd like to see a little bit lower. But overall, I like him, number three. I've got Rafael Devers at number four. And so all these guys play every day, but 33 homers, 100 RBIs, he's a solid player. Bregman, like I said, in ESPN, he's not really the value here. I'd rather wait a little bit, maybe get me an Austin Riley after maybe the second round. But or Devers, not in a bad fallback position either, but Bregman, he's going to put together a great year, as we just talked about. Even though it was a down year for him, he still had 25 homers, 98 RBIs. He played 161 games, 155 the year before that. So he's in the lineup every day. And so there's really no wrong answer here to me in any of these guys. And so I'd be happy with any of them.
So Devers, according to ESPN, Devers is going 11 picks higher than Riley. And he's going 17 picks higher than Bregman. People are drafting Devers over Bregman. Now, ESPN ranks Bregman higher, but people are drafting. Is it just Red Sox fans drafting early? What's going on?
I don't get it either, because they've got him ranked at number 16 overall, ESPN does. 16 overall. And they've got Riley ranked 38th overall. That's insanity to me. That's where I'm saying the value is going to come in, and you could take somebody else up there in that second round if you, you know, don't do, you know, Ramirez or whatever, but you can get him. You know, I'm not doing that in the second round. I'm not doing it. And and I like Riley better anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if I get him in the fourth or even in the third, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. So in my tier two, I have Devers there. And I've got two young guys with them in tier two. And I'm curious to see where you have these guys. I've got Spencer Steer up here in tier two. Now, Steer has first base and outfield eligibility along with this. I had Steer in my fourth tier in first baseman, but he's in tier two for third baseman. I like his value as well. We'll talk about that. His ADP right now is 144. That's wild to me.
Gone up from, because I have it at 150.
Okay. So that's just wild to me, especially with that much eligibility there as well. And I also have Gunnar Henderson here in tier number two. Now, first of all, okay, I got to say this. I really like Gunnar Henderson. He was on my team last year. He was up and down. He had good moments, and he had down moments as a rookie and all that kind of stuff. You give me eligibility at third base and shortstop. You give me another year older, another year proven, another year there on a really good lineup. I'm super high on Gunnar Henderson this year. So I put Steer, Devers, and Henderson in my tier two, but I've got Devers as my number five running back behind our running back, third baseman behind Spencer Steer.
Okay. I don't go completely off the reservation quite like that, but because in my tier three, I've got two guys. One is a guy I think we're forgetting all about, and that's Nolan Arenado of the St. Louis Cardinals. And he's a guy that he fell back a little bit, but still hit not 26 homers.
Right.
All right. And played 144 games. That's the fewest games he has played in a full healthy season since 2014. So I'm not putting any stock in that. He'll get back up to the 156 game play ratio. And he doesn't strike out much. And so I like him in this tier. And he comes in, when I was doing my research, he comes in at number 75. So there to me is value. I'm high on Gunnar Henderson as well. I've got him in this tier. You talked about ups and downs, but he was still eighth in the AL MVP rating last year. And so the only issue is they Fantasy Pros has him at number 32 overall. ESPN has him at number 42 from when I was doing my research. And so he's got an oblique, and he's going to miss about a week of spring games, and we'll see where he stands. He should be fine by, you know, when it rolls around to draft day. And if he is, then that shortstop and third base, he might spring forth above Nolan Arenado with that alone. But at the present moment, I've got him ranked behind Arenado.
Yeah. With his age, I'm not too concerned about the injury situation with the oblique. If he was Nolan Arenado with the oblique, I'd be a little bit more concerned. That being said, in my tier three, I've got Arenado there also. I also have, and I was assuming you wouldn't have this guy this high because I know that you've been poisoned. Manny Machado. I got him here at the tier number three as well.
I'm ready to
and
talk about
Isaac,
him.
Yeah, and Isaac Paredes as well from Tampa Bay, who also has first base eligibility. I like Paredes. He's a guy that I've had. He was a waiver wire pickup for me a couple years ago and really produced nicely as a waiver wire guy. Now he's actually draftable and having that eligibility at first base helps, of course, as well. But his stats have put him in this spot for me. Let me talk real quick. Let me give you my thoughts on Machado and then we'll let you have your thoughts. First of all, we've said it every time we've done tiers. The Padres cannot be as bad as they were last year. Surely they're now. Listen, Machado's numbers last year actually ended up decent. He had a bunch of home runs. I think it was 38 or something like that.
He had 30 homers. He had 91 RBIs.
All right.
And so but bad. where he started.
Yes, he got drafted first round.
Well, he got drafted by me in the second round.
Second round, okay.
And I was very excited because I thought, okay, I'm going to take him because I had a player in mind that I was going to get later in the draft, but I didn't.
Was he your second third baseman or your first third baseman?
No, he was my first third baseman. Okay. He's the one that I forgot about when Austin Riley came around later. But as I thought, wow, with Soto in that lineup, he's going to have a great year. But then remember last year, he was more concerned about arguing about the rules.
Yeah.
Than he was playing baseball.
Let me say this. Last year, I passed on Riley because you had Machado, and I thought, I'll get him when he comes back around. And then you drafted him, and you're like, I'm going to take a third baseman here. And I'm sitting there going, you've already got a third baseman. And we just kind of kept going. And then all of a sudden, you're like a round later, you're like, oh, I guess I have two third basemen. But that being said, Machado, he did have decent stats last year. Not where he was drafted, but still decent stats. I expect him to have a better year this year or at least be back where he was. And if he's valued better this year, which I think he is, his ADP is in the, I've got him sitting at 59, which, I think in that 60s range is kind of where I'm looking at. Okay. But you know, Machado to me is a guy that you look at, that some people will be sour on. And I like that. That means he drops a little bit. You can get some good value on him. And I think he belongs there with Arenado in my tier three.
Well, you know, because I've got him at the top. I held my nose. Okay. Once again. But I agree with you 100% because he only played 138 games, but the season's 150, 153 games. And so even though he only had 109 strikeouts, when you look at this, 268 batting average, balls in play, he has a 295 career batting average. So that's going to have to come up, you figure. And so when you look at all this, and he was the number two MVP, if you'll remember, in 2022. So it wasn't like he was, 8 years ago, he was good. And but just a couple years removed from being great. And so I did a mock draft, I believe, yesterday where there he was sitting there, and I went ahead and took him, but it was later in the draft, so I was like, okay, Manny, don't do it to me again. All right, so, but he's at the top of my tier four, and I got Royce Lewis of Minnesota in this tier, and you mentioned Paredes. I've got him in this tier. First and third, he's, that moves him up above the tier below him. And, there's no chance you're getting him off any waiver wires this year.
No.
And because he's top 10 in ESPN at third, I think that's a little rich. And I'm not taking him at that level. I think they're a third baseman you can get later that will have as much value as that. But he's 19th in Fantasy Pros. I think that's a little more level with what we're looking for him. Not 10. I'm not right. Doing that.
Right.
And so, but yeah, everything, 31 homers in Tampa, 98 RBIs, he scored runs. And so everything that you like about, could possibly like about him, I like. And it just seems like, if he slides a little bit in the draft, maybe I could see pulling the trigger on him, but I see him going way earlier than I would be comfortable taking.
So my tier four, which is kind of lining up with your tier five to a degree, as far as, you've got only one guy in tier one. I had three guys. So all my tiers kind of drop down in your level. But I've got Royce Lewis there in my tier four, which you do as well. I also put Ha-Seon Kim in this group. We talked about him with second base. He's second base and shortstop eligible as well. So I like, again, that versatility. I got Max Muncy sitting here in this tier four where he, didn't have the year.
Discussions here.
Okay, yeah, he didn't have the year that was expected of him, but at the end of the year, if you look at Muncy's numbers, you go, you know what? He's still draftable in that case as well. So I've got him there as well in that same grouping, but I like Lewis better than I like Ha-Seon Kim, better than I like Max Muncy for sure. Max Muncy's a guy that I put in the tier because of his stats. I would be shocked if Max Muncy's on any of my rosters.
I would be as well. And he's in a tier that I'm going to talk about in towards the end here. But
do you have a tier five?
I do have a tier five, okay. And that's where Spencer Steer comes in.
Okay.
And then I've got Alec Bohm of the Philadelphia Phillies in this tier. And, you know, first, third base qualified as well. And hitting in that Phillies lineup. And he's a young guy, but he still hit 20 homers, 97 RBIs. And and he struck out 15% of the time. That's what you're looking for out of a guy that can hit home runs. He's not striking out at 28.9% or any of that other stuff. And so I put him here. ESPN agrees with me. They've got him ranked at 11th. So, which I was really surprised about when I was sat down. I was like, well, Alec Bohm, okay. I could see that. And so, and we talked about Steer already, that eligibility. And a lot of people, you know, because I put that out on our first base, you know, tiers level, and they're like, I like him over Spencer, this other guy. Oh, yeah. Great for you.
Yeah.
Okay. That eligibility brings him way above where he probably should be ranked, because he can be in your lineup anywhere you need him every single day.
So I've got a tier five also, Kev, and I got Alec Bohm in there too. I think everything you said is fair. What I did for my tier five was, if I don't get any of my top three tier guys, then I'm probably going to pass on Lewis. I'm probably going to pass on Kim. Although Kim's hard to pass just because he's got so much positional eligibility. Probably going to pass on Muncy. So if I put Bohm here, and then I got another name for you that you don't think of when you think of third base, but he's third base eligible in ESPN, and it's Elly De La Cruz from Cincinnati.
Okay, I'm going to talk about him as well.
Okay, so he's also shortstop eligible. You know, he was the sexy name last year of the prospects.
Right.
Ultimately, when he came up and played, he is incredibly entertaining.
It doesn't matter. I got him off the waiver wire last year, so
yeah,
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so I got him in this tier as well with Bohm. I actually like De La Cruz and Bohm better than I like my tier four, but the stats don't put them above those guys. So I put them in tier five as guys I wanted to make sure I mentioned that I would be happy with having on my team, especially at the value where they're currently sitting at. And so I felt like it was important to mention those guys as well.
Okay, so I had to turn my notes over, and I've got Ha-Seong Kim in this tier as well.
Okay.
But ESPN and Fantasy Pros have him ranked at 8th and 9th at third base.
Ooh.
And so I think that's going to come off the board way earlier than I'll be willing to draft him.
Yeah.
I would really, if he came off the board a little bit later, I would be willing to of course. One draft I did that, and I wound up with two Padres on my team. Machado, if you can believe it, and then Kim were both on my team. And I'm like, is that something I really want to do? But Kim, you know, when you look at Kim, you can't really argue.
Yeah.
He did everything.
Yeah.
Plus, he goes everywhere. And so I really liked what he does. But, you know, if he's going to come off the board as number 8 third baseman, then I'm going to take somebody that's going to, I think, is going to have more value a little bit later.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Speaking of value, let's get there. Value picks this year. Who do you like at third base?
So I was really, really stunned at this guy, because I got Key Brian Hayes of the Pittsburgh Pirates here as a value, because in ESPN, they have him ranked as the 208th overall player.
Yeah.
Okay, at third base. And he's a guy that, you know, the Pirates can't be, well, I guess it could be as bad. But I think he's going to be way higher than 208. No, he's nobody's starting third baseman. Let me make sure I'm clear on
this. He should not be, yes.
Should not be, okay? Don't wait till the 20th round to draft your third baseman, okay? But he's a guy that you know, in our leagues, we've got the middle infielder and we've got the corner infielder. So he's a guy that you could take and would have value this late in the draft. I really like him a lot. And another player that I was really surprised about is Eugenio Suarez, went to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And even though he strikes out 6,000 times a year, but here's a guy, right? He hits 20 homers every year. He drives in 90 runs every year. He plays in Arizona, which I think I like that a lot. And they've got him ranked, let me see, as 248th overall. So there's value to be found here. Maybe not so much in points leagues. You got to be eyes open because his strikeout rate was unbelievable because he struck out 214 times. If you can, but you can live with that. If you walk 70 times and you can get 28 home runs at number 200 and whatever it was I said, 200 and where was it? 248. I like that. And so I've got him and those two guys in my value.
That's I think those are good picks. Suarez, he concerns me a little bit with his age. I mean, he's only 32, which isn't horrible for a third baseman. But he was still producing even last year with 22 dingers, 96 RBI, which is really good for him.
And he played 162 games.
Yeah, and they've got him slotted in as the everyday third baseman in Arizona, batting sixth in the lineup as well. So, I mean, it's not a bad spot for him. And, you know, we'll see how it works out for him in Arizona. He should be good there. It should be a really good team. And there's really not anybody there that's going to challenge him for playing time. And even if they challenge him at third base, he could still DH. Because him and Jock Peterson might go back and forth a little bit or something like that. But, it's an interesting pick. I admit that I'm kind of low on Suarez, but you've kind of talked me into him a little bit as well. So, so my value picks, we've already talked about, I think Machado is a little low right now. I think that you might be able to find some value with him in the fifth round, depending on how your draft goes. Spencer Steer, I'm so high on this kid. He's
me going too.
144 overall right now in average draft. So, I mean,
yep. 150 is what I have, but yeah, right around in that area.
Yeah, I'll take
he answers the bell in so many different places.
Yeah, and he's got positional eligibility in a lot of places too. Here's the name I'm going to give you. When I first say it, you're going to say no stinking way, but you got to hear me out all the way through. Okay. Okay. Jake Berger. He's in Miami.
I'm with you.
Okay, good. So last year he went 34 home runs and 80 RBIs. He also, though, had some struggles. Now he started in Chicago for the White Sox, gets traded to Miami. While he was in Chicago, he batted .214 with 102 strikeouts. After he got traded to Miami, he went and batted .303 with only 47 strikeouts. Now there was more plate appearances in Chicago than Miami, but that's a massive change and upgrade for him. Now his power went down because the White Sox have a better hitting park than Miami does. He didn't hit as many home runs in Miami, but his batting average went up drastically. And his strikeouts went down drastically. And his ADP right now is .249. So this is a guy that you're looking, if you don't have that other second corner infielder and you're getting around to the end of the draft, this is a guy that I think you take a shot on and see what he does this year. And he might be a guy that ends up playing some decent fantasy ball for you this year.
Okay. I was looking at that name. And so I'm right there with you on him. A couple players in my cautious streak, because you mentioned them both already. And that's Max Muncy is in my cautious. Not saying don't draft him.
Sure.
But even though everything you mentioned, only hit .212 last year. Mm-hmm. He only had 102 hits in a whole season. That's almost impossible to do. But he pulled that off. 153 strikeouts, 85 walks, and he is hitting in the Dodger lineup. But, .221 batted average ball is in play. You know, he hits the ball, and great things don't always happen.
Sure.
And at number, they've got a rank. Right around what you were saying, 13th, 14th at third base. I think some of these other guys that we just talked about could be a better value at that point in the draft than taking Max Muncy, who if you're thinking he's going to hit, because he hit 36 home runs a year ago. I think that's, I think you're dreaming a little bit if you think he's going to do that again. And he's almost 34. And so he's a caution for me at that spot. And then I've got the man, okay, Ellie Dela Cruz.
Okay.
I'm cautious of. I'm not saying don't draft him. I'm not saying that at all. However,
don't ESPN reach for him.
And Fantasy Pros has him ranked fifth overall at third base, and ESPN has him ranked eighth. And so he's the guy, you know, he did everything. He steals bases and all that. 144 strikeouts and just 98 games. That sours me. Like I had him, and you know, he'll do something great. He stole bases and hit a home run the same game, and the next game he struck out four times.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna take him, you better be prepared for the highs and lows. He is third base and shortstop qualified, so that brings him up just a little bit. But that top 10 at third base, I'm not. If it was shortstop, maybe I could buy it a little bit more, but at third, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about shortstops next week. And I'm sure he'll come up in that conversation again as well.
You can be real sure about that.
My cautious, I've only got one guy in this category, and that's Rafael Devers. I'm just not in on him. His ADP is at 22. He's being drafted over Riley and over Bregman. That, to me, that's just so stupid. And so if you're a Red Sox fan and that's what you want to do, by all means, go for it. But it's not the wise fantasy move. Devers should be at top, your fourth, third baseman. And I think he could even drop as low as your fifth and sixth third baseman. I'm not in on Boston. They've made a couple little moves here and there. They're still going to be towards the bottom of their division more than likely. I think they'll be better than Tampa this year, but I don't know. I don't trust Rafael Devers, and I don't think the lineup in Boston's that great either. So for me, that's a guy I look at and go, I can't draft Devers where other people are going to draft him at. And so I'd just be weary of taking him early in this draft.
Okay. Because I'm a little higher on him than you are. And so cautious, but he's a player that's delivered. So I might be, you could talk me into, because I like Riley way better.
Yeah.
As you mentioned. And I like him as a value over Devers as well. Yeah. So I'm there with you on that. And that leads us to last but not least into the thumbs down tier.
Do not draft.
And the guy that's leading the league is DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. And so, I hope that our New York, fandom, well, maybe not. Maybe he's not watching this. So you go ahead and take him at the number three spot. All right. But he's not even ranked on ESPN, not even ranked overall.
Yeah.
So forget that. Forget it. And he's 35. You might as well be 45. And I want nothing to do with that. 136 games. That's about what you're going to get out of him. No more. And maybe less. Okay. And my last guy is the one that we mentioned earlier when we're talking about the Scott Boras four. Matt Chapman is in on this league, on this list. And I want nothing to do with him whatsoever. If you're defensively, fantasy leagues has a defensive aspect, I guess you could talk about that. I don't know any that do that. But I don't know, 140 games, he hit 17 home runs, had 66 runs scored. And a Toronto Blue Jays lineup that was, has hitters. And he did not. He looked lost at the plate last year. And I can't see it getting any better. I don't care where he signs, if he signs. If he, turns out to be, the guy that wanders the land with no destination in mind, but it won't be on my fantasy team where he winds up.
My do not draft guy, and I've been pretty high on Reds guys this year, is their newest addition, Jaime Candelario.
Okay.
He's going to play first base, it looks like, for him is the plan right now. And he's in a good spot in the order to start the year. I don't believe in him. Last year, he did play as many games pretty much as he's played in a while. 22 home runs, 70 RBIs, 8 stolen bases. He hit 251, which isn't that bad. He had a 22% K rate, which again, isn't horrible compared to some other guys as well. But at the end of the day, I think he's the guy that's going to suffer in Cincinnati, even though they got a good hitting ballpark. And even though it's, you know, there's some positive things there. Of the Reds that are draftable, he's the guy that I'm staying away from, I think, ultimately in Cincinnati.
You know, because they've got 27 different guys that they could literally put at first base. They got Steer, they got Christian, was his name, Strand. And
And
he could play first base.
Yeah.
And so if any of them struggles, they're going to have a replacement ready to put in the lineup. And so,
you mentioned him. I like Strand, Christian Encarnacion Strand. I like him way better than I like Candelario. I think at the end of the day, he's going to get some more run. Now, that being said, Candelario might find time at DH with Jonathan India, who's currently slotted in there. But let's face it, Jonathan India is not the player he was just a couple years ago.
No.
Matt McClain, Spencer Steer.
That's right. They've got so many players. They can't play them all.
Yeah, Tyler Stevenson can play first base. I mean, I just don't love Candelario there. Well, listen, we're running past time. Let's get to the most important business of the day, Kevin. Your articles. That's the reason we come here, Kevin, is to talk about you. BellyUpFantasySports.com is where they can find your articles. Of course, you're on Twitter at Kevin62, WILSEA. But tell them, I know last week you came out with the second base tiers. We talked about them here on the program, ahead? What's ahead now for third base?
Well, you know, since we're talking about third base, the third base tiers will be ready, and they'll have a lot more stats in there for all you stat heads that are out there that just can't get enough stats with baseball, because stats and baseball go hand in hand. But anyway, so you can get over there to the, as you mentioned, the Belly Up Fantasy website. The second base article that I posted this week on Reddit has over 10,000 views. Wow. And so that's what's happening over there. And I get some very nice comments, some comments that make you think a little bit. And so, that's what we're here for. We're out here. At least I am, to help others and learn some things of my own and give some knowledge out there. And I'm hoping that it's helping someone, because that's what I'm really wanting to do this for.
Awesome. So I've got hopefully an article coming out this week. I've been getting behind on writing things, not on baseball, though, on NASCAR, trying to get another entry into my Diaries of a Revived NASCAR Fan. Talking about Daytona and Atlanta. We'll talk about that as well on Wednesday night. I'll be joined by Chris Prince, who is the NASCAR racing head at Belly Up Sports. He's going to come on and join me. We'll talk about that. Me and Dad will be talking baseball, a little bit of football here and there, some college basketball, some different things. That'll be live Wednesday night at 8 p.m. approximately. Sometimes it goes a little later depending on when I get home. But then tomorrow night, I'll be joined by a freshman baseball player at EKU, Tate Nunley, who homered in his very first game as a collegiate player. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. We're also talking to Turner Buttrey from the basketball team. The EKU men clinched the regular season title for the ASUN Conference this week. And so Turner will come on and talk about that as well. So back to regular schedule. This past week, all we did was the baseball show. And then due to schedule conflicts, Monday and Wednesday just couldn't get there. But this week we're back full schedule. So you'll see us Monday night. You'll see us, as well on, Wednesday night. And then of course, next week, me and Kevin will be right back here to talk fantasy baseball. We're ranking shortstops next week as we draw ever so much closer to our draft on March the 17th, which will air live right here on Belly Up Sports YouTube, as well as the Sports Stove YouTube and Belly Up Fantasy Facebook page. So it'll all be there for you as well. Let's see here. BellyUpFantasySports.com. Go check it out. SeatGeek.com if you need tickets. Use the code BellyUpSports. And RighteousFelon.com if you're feeling a little snacky. That's where you got to go. Use the code STOVE15. Get 15% off your purchase.
And don't forget the lemon pepper.
And don't forget the lemon pepper. That's correct. They got beef sticks, lemon pepper beef sticks, as well as
They're very good, as is the taco ones. Yeah. And so, you know, just throwing that plug in there.
There you go. And you can buy. Question, go ahead.
What's that? The only question that I have right now is, what was your dad's reaction to where he was slotted?
You know, it's funny. He likes the spot. Ultimately, likes that number. We didn't talk a whole lot about who was around him. We talked a little bit about the guy that's going 10, who we don't really know. You know, he's a Guardians fan, Indians fan. And outside of that, we really don't know much about this guy. He's new to the league, new to the network, all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to figure that out a little bit. I'm on the other side, but you know, me and Dad haven't actually talked a whole lot this week. I have been incredibly busy. So we didn't get a chance to chat about it a whole lot. But he does like 9. He's happy there. Or 8. Where's he at? He's at 9, right?
8, I believe, is what it is.
8. Okay. He's at 8. So he likes that spot.
You're at 8, right?
I think I'm at 8 and he's at 9.
He's at 9. Okay. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 9. Yeah.
So yeah, overall, he was happy, I think, with that as well. So, but anyways, all right, let's let these people go to bed. Well, let's let me go to bed. So follow.
That's right.
Follow me on social media at Sports Stove. Follow Kevin at Kevin62WILSEA. And follow your heart right back here to the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show next Sunday at 8 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. He's Kevin Wilson. Okay. I'm Vince Stover. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Have a great week.